beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Owen Schroyer.
All right, so here's the deal. I got attorney Mike Yoder joining me coming up shortly to talk about big election news with the legal battles that are continuing. I'm going to squeeze in a couple more hurricane calls right now. If you want to hold on the line, we will hold you over, and I will get you after my guest departs from the show, and we may squeeze in some other calls, but I just want to let the people on the line know that's the situation. So if you want to hold, you can hold. If you want to drop, whatever. We're going to take a couple more calls and go to our guests, and then we'll probably take a couple more after he leaves. But let's squeeze in a couple here if we can. Let's go to Josh in North Carolina. Josh, you're on the air. Go ahead. Josh, are we with you? I think we've lost Josh. So let's go to Zach in Tennessee. Zach, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Nice to talk to you. I was calling in another Zach from Tennessee, and I'm actually going to confirm kind of what he was telling on the show. It seems to be like PIMA is turning people away at the scene. They did it to me. I luckily knew some locals in the area that are helping me get stuff in. I know there's citizens that are going on horseback. There are citizens that are walking in. I know for one instance in Irwin, there are people that are walking 5-10 miles trying to get into the areas. And there has been threats of arrest and things going on that just do not add up. So I don't really know. I'm going back this weekend. I got a truck full of stuff. I'm out in Middle Tennessee, but just trying to get resources into the area is becoming harder and harder, and it seems like FEMA and PIMA in particular are really just being a roadblock, and they're also pulling off teams that were there at the beginning at Ground Zero when it started, and some of these volunteer fire departments. They're pulling them off and telling them to stand down, so I don't really know what's going on.
Wow. Well, and now TEMA is having to address these accusations that they're taking some of these aid funds, and they're having to address that. FEMA hasn't said anything, but TEMA did come out and make a public statement saying there was confusion about it. So I don't know what's going on with that either. The whole thing, it just stinks. And the fact that now I think I've had 3 or 4 callers confirm that FEMA is getting in their way, not to mention Tim Kennedy, who's out there with boots on the ground assistance, and it's the government and FEMA that's getting in their way and stopping people from helping. And it's local officials that are saying, if you fly that helicopter, if you go deliver supplies, if you go rescue that woman off the roof, that you're going to get arrested. I mean, this is insane.
Right. And one other thing I heard from actually people that were working at FEMA was that they were talking about confiscating different supplies and materials from people. I know somebody brought down some stuff from Massachusetts in a U-Haul, and they may be divvying out some of it, but I think one of the person that was working there said that they may be saving some of it for what they're calling future disasters, and that maybe they don't have a big enough budget to cover for this disaster and maybe another hurricane in the future.
Well, they've got Hurricane Kirk, I guess, that they think could hit the United States. And so maybe that's an effort to keep some supplies in case that happens. Because, yeah, FEMA has come out and said, this is it. You know, if you can get your $750 from us, good luck. But after that, we have nothing left for you. But don't worry. You know, maybe these Americans should start identifying as non-citizens, illegal immigrants, asylum seekers, and then maybe they can get the funding that they need, the help that they need. That might be the strategy here. All right, Zach, thank you for the call. Josh, I got like 30 seconds before my guest. John in Florida, if you just want to speak quickly, and we can hold you, but just go ahead.
Hey, Owen, what's up?
Yep, go ahead.
This is absolutely bull to know. And then, you know, we come back and Perry and all that is destroyed. I don't know. I'm listening to you guys, and I can't believe it, dude.
The whole thing is shocking, and I think it's eye-opening for a lot of people. All right. If you're on the line, we can hold you over. I got a guest coming up. We got big election news. The legal battle continues with Mike Yoder. Don't go anywhere.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula, meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor, or just take our word for it, and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war, it's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, Mike Yoder is putting in the work. And he's involved in a lot of different fights in the courts, actually, but specifically trying to stop the 2024 election from being stolen. And so he's got some updates on that. And Mike, also, you know, we got a 20-plus minute segment here. So if you want to talk about some of the other legal battles as well, you can kind of prioritize which direction you want to take this. But you sent me an update on one of your cases, specifically dealing with the voter rolls that people need to know about. And so why don't you give us an update on that first?
Yeah, so we initially filed suit. That was through our nonprofit, Citizen AG. I figured since we don't have a U.S. Attorney General, we would do the job for him. So that's why we founded the nonprofit, to pick up the fight where the government leaves it off. But the case we filed in Fulton County, immediately, obviously, the NAACP, the ACLU, Legal Defense Fund, Legal Defense Alliance, every, you know, acronym you can think of, all the organizations swarmed the case, and including Mark Elias, and tried to intervene. So we dismissed the lawsuit voluntarily to refile, because the whole basis is they're claiming we didn't include them. Or their concerns. So we said, okay, we're just going to amend the lawsuit and we'll add your concerns in. You don't have any business being here. This is between us and Fulton County. Stay out of it. So we're going to be refiling in Fulton County, but even bigger, we're going to be filing suit in a number of other states. I'm not going to say the specific date that we're going to be dropping the lawsuit, but it's going to be coming up in the very soon. There's a lot of relevant procedural deadlines that we have to work within. So we can't file suits too early. We can't file them too late. It has to be strategically planned out. But the suits are teed up and ready to go.
Now, explain to people that haven't heard you on my show before. First of all, the legal group that you have, it's kind of like We the People's Attorneys General. And then kind of just get into the weeds of how these lawsuits are going to help us protect election integrity.
Yeah. So first, I'll answer the question. I started Citizen AG as a nonprofit because we need an entity or an organization where people have their rights protected. It's not a partisan organization. It's nothing to do with politics, frankly. It just so happens that the rights being violated across the nation have been predominantly the violations committed by one side of the aisle. And the reason we founded this was because oftentimes, and so many times in private practice, I've came across people who had perfect fact patterns to uproot laws that could have nationwide change. For example, think about that Colorado cake case where it took one person to go to court, or Obergefell v. Hodges, one gay couple, now gay marriage is legalized nationwide. The implications of one case can be so massive. And when you get a fact pattern that you can use to change the landscape of the law, we can't lose that. But most of the time, people can't afford a lawyer. And freedom and justice should not be contingent on whether you can pay a lawyer. So I wanted to create a nonprofit that actually advocates and pushes our rights forward. We hear about legal defense funds. Well, it's time that we actually have a legal offense fund that actually moves the needle and furthers our rights, instead of always paying millions and millions of dollars to just get back what we're entitled to have from the day we're born. So that's why I started the organization.
Yeah, and it's very important work, because the way you put it, I think, is the best way. And you know, the truth is, too, on the right side of this, the conservative side of this, you know, the support is nowhere near what it is on the left, where they just have these massive groups that will fund any lawsuits, any lawyers, offense, defense, I mean, you name it, they do it. And so there's starting to be some more legal defense stuff for conservative people, right-wing people, Christian people. But now with this, we're going on the offense. It's kind of a proactive instead of a reactive situation. I think it's very key. So let's talk about the goal here when it comes to election integrity. Try to lay this out so American people can really understand what's going on.
Yeah, so there's a multitude of this, and it's a very complex topic, so I'm going to go step by step through it. The first thing is understanding what election fraud and voter fraud really is, how it happens. The vast majority of the voter fraud happens from people that are registered to vote, but they are inactive voters. The reason being, because you have active registered voters and inactive registered voters. The inactive registered voters are people who may have had a challenge to their residency filed, or a voter roll challenge, which is what I was speaking about with the Fulton County lawsuits, where we identified hundreds of thousands of individuals that do not live in Georgia, let alone Fulton County. When these people get voter roll challenges filed against them, and the county is informed that they don't live there, they don't just remove them. Because under the National Voter Registration Act, you can't remove them until after two federal election cycles pass. But the problem is, even if it's the state that identifies these ineligible voters, or even if it's through citizen filed challenges, after 4 years, so that's two federal election cycles, people forget about it. And the Secretary of State has the obligation to remove those ineligible voters from their rolls, but they never do. So you're looking at these rolls where you see 110%, you know, there's more registered voters in a county or a state than residents or citizens of voting age in that state or county. That's because the Secretaries of State, or whoever the chief election official is, doesn't remove them. So on one end of it, we fought a lot of challenges to force people to be removed. The other end of the spectrum is that now we're forcing them, we fought a lot of challenges forcing people to be taken from active to inactive. And now we're forcing the removal. Because when you have those names that are on the inactive roll, all it takes is the flip of a switch to declare someone active, have that person be a mule for a vote or a ballot to be cast, and then you just tabulate it, and then you just switch them back to being inactive again. That's where you're seeing all these votes flood in. That's why you see those spikes overnight in a massive amount of numbers immediately. You also see other types of fraud with digital stuff where they can flip the votes from, you know, Biden to Trump, Trump to Biden, or whatever it was in 2020, or the same thing with Newsom's recall election. But we have challenges that are going after inactive or ineligible voters that are still listed as active. B, we're going after the ineligible voters that should no longer be on the list. They should be completely removed. And C, there's another organization that has filed suit to block the Dominion machines because they don't meet the legal standards. They don't have the cryptonic encryption keys that are required for those machines to be even used. Yet Georgia alone, they're a contract of $85 million to use those machines in one election. So it just tells you how pervasive the landscape is. There's a lot of different moving parts to elections, and the law is extremely complicated because it changes. You have local county, you have municipal, you have statewide legislation, then you have federal law, and they change the goalposts. They move it around every single election cycle. So every 2 years, the laws change. And by the time that you actually figure out which way you can navigate through it, they change it again. So it's constantly just moving the goalposts, is constantly moving the ball, and it's extremely hard to track down and chase. So that's why we're going just straight for the removal.
Well, and of course, that's going to be the most effective way to do it. And that's why when I talk about this election being won or lost in the courts, I look at Georgia, where the work has been done. We've had victory. I think Trump wins Georgia. We look at Virginia, where the work has been done. We've had victory. They've removed them from the rolls. North Carolina, same story. Texas, Nevada. These are states now, I think, that go red because you've gotten rid of the illegal voters. Not just, like you said, identified them, but removed them. And, you know, before we get into maybe some of your other lawsuits, if you would like, here's one thing I want to get your take on, where the Democrats are fighting in court in areas like Arizona that, okay, well, you've identified the ineligible voters, but it's too late. You can't remove them from the rolls. I mean, that that in and of itself is just ridiculous. Like claiming that, oh, well, it's too close to the election for you to remove an illegal voter. What? That's the exact opposite of logic. So what are your thoughts on that?
So what they did is clever. It's almost hilarious to me that it's worked in any court, yet we still have federal judges that still don't understand this concept. Under the NVRA, the National Voter Registration Act, you're obligated, every state is obligated to maintain a general program for voter list maintenance and accuracy that must be completed no later than 90 days prior to a federal election. What they're twisting and contorting that to say is that within 90 days of a federal election, we cannot remove voters. So what that translates to is their argument is really saying we have broken the law so flagrantly and for so long that now that we're within the 90-day period towards the election, we're going to call it a quiet period and say federal law prohibits us from removing voters during the 90-day period, when in reality what the federal law says is that you have to remove the ineligible voters and you damn well better do it so far in advance that you don't even get close to the election because you got to remove them 90 days before the election starts. And they've perverted it to say that it constitutes a prohibition against removing ineligible voters, even when it's people filing challenges saying, here is the hard evidence that this person doesn't live here. I have pictures of their grave sites. I have pictures of their obituaries and copies of that. I have public documents that show this person's dead and they won't remove them. Well, it's insanity that it's gone this far. And it's gone on for so long that the courts aren't even recognizing it. So that sort of takes me to the one thing I wanted to tell you about, which I haven't said this publicly yet. I haven't told anyone this publicly in any forum. I found the source of exactly where all these illegals are getting put on the voter rolls, and it's going to be made public very, very soon. And I'll tell you right now where it is. And it's an organization called the Electronic Registration Information Center. It's led by a guy named David Becker, who was involved in a scandal while he was a U.S. attorney. And he essentially contacted the city of Boston while he worked for the DOJ, and the DOJ sued Boston over voting rights, claiming that he would help them get out of it. He then worked for PFAW, the People for the American Way, a far-left organization. Then he went on to work for Pew. And with George Soros' money, he created an organization called the Electronic Registration Information Center, which is known as ERIC. And then ERIC contracts with the states to get your DMV records, all that sensitive data that nobody else can get that's protected under the Driver's Privacy Protection Act. That's where they're finding out the ineligible voters. That's where they're finding out who in the state isn't registered to vote. And their membership agreement prohibits you from disclosing to them who is or is not a citizen. So you send all the information to people that live there. Don't tell them if they're citizens or not. And they pump those names onto the voter rolls, and then they circulate it back, and then they give it to the other organization David Becker found, which is the Center for Election Innovation and Research, which is the recipient of all those Zucker bucks from back in 2020.
Well, and it's like, if I'm just looking at the constellation here, right, trying to figure out what's going on, makes sense, answer the big question. You've got the Democrats fighting in courts to have non-citizens vote. You have the Democrats fighting in courts to make sure that the citizenship question isn't even on the census so they can rig up the Electoral College numbers. You have Democrats, fighting multiple lawsuits in courts, like mail-in ballots, stopping voter ID, stopping signature verification. And then you've got the situation where the DNC is spending the majority of their money, the majority of their resources on voter data. And so you add all of this up and you're like, okay, well, here's how, if you wanted to cheat, here's where you would go. And if there's no signature verification, then we've got all the voter data. We know who doesn't vote. We know who's dead. We know who's ineligible. We've legally kept them on the ballots. Now we can send out a mail-in ballot, and it's just all, you know, it's just all processing, right? You just put it into a system and just process it out. So it's like, oh, there's plausible deniability. Like, oh, we didn't know. We just put it in the system, and then all the things go out. And then here comes election day, and ballots show up at 3 a.m, and multiple counties have more votes than voters. And it's just like, okay, bing, you've just solved the riddle. They do all these things to keep them on the rolls. They collect all the voter data so they know who's voting, who's not, who's alive, who's eligible, who's not. They mail out the ballots. They have their vote mules, put them in the boxes. They don't have voter signature verification. Bing, there it is.
And you don't even need the mail-in ballots either, because you don't need the tangible object. You just need someone who is on the number and just increases the tally. You just need to have that high level of registered voters, whether they're active or inactive. And if you want to know how bad it is, ERIC is an organization that David Becker founded. It has 3 employees. It works out of a virtual office. I have your calls. I have your emails. I know that you're giving your data away to your other organization. You just take your one hat off, put the other hat on. And CEIR got $70 million from Mark Zuckerberg that they then flipped and they sent to the various secretaries of state, starting with the states that were most in play, like Michigan. They gave it to states like Wisconsin. They gave it to states like Pennsylvania. And in Michigan, for example, they gave $11.9 million to the state of Michigan. And of that $12 million, $9.7 million was spent on a Democratic consulting firm, Waterfront Strategies. The other $2 million went to a Democratic consulting firm that was ran by Jill Alper, the former director of the DNC. And here's where they screwed up. In 2020, and again, CEIR is a nonprofit, so they can't do anything that's partisan. Yet they claim that this was used for urgent voter education assistance. It wasn't. And I know that because when you are paying Democratic consultants with the money, which they gave to the state of Michigan, they gave them literally $12 million. It gets put into 2 Democratic high-powered political consulting firms. And those consulting firms, well, they disclosed that it was for media strategy and purchase. So you're laundering money from Zuckerberg through a nonprofit while you're supposed to be nonpartisan in violation of your 501c3 exempt status to then pay secretaries of state to hire left-wing guns to target voters and then reach out to them. And the whole thing was about, they even sent text messages. They don't have a list of anyone but Democrats to text. So they're figuring out who's ineligible at the same time that they're sending them messages, go vote, go vote, go vote. They're figuring out who has been registered but didn't vote yet. You got to go vote. You're registered. Go vote. And they solicit it. In Colorado, we just had this deputy secretary of state under oath in a case admit that a list that he received of voter rolls from ERIC gave them a list of 50,000 names. 30,000 of those names that they were encouraged to solicit and register were illegal immigrants. We just saw it in Arizona, 120,000. You saw the error. Every time you see error, they should change it to say ERIC, because that's the source. And I'm going for you guys. If you're listening, I'm sure David Becker is going to tune in, and I hope you do, because you're the source of these problems. That's why they want you coming across the borders. And I figured it out.
Yeah, and most people that have any deductive reasoning that are looking at this have figured it out, too. I mean, you know, you look at Elon Musk. I mean, he's all over this issue. You know, it's so obvious. It doesn't take a genius. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist like Elon Musk, but he's figured it out. He's hammering home this issue. And so
they're hammering him on speech, too.
Well, he's warning as well, and I think he's right. I agree. I've said it here. If Kamala Harris wins, if they pull off this fraud, they'll probably shut down X. They'll probably come for Rumble next. I mean, who knows, man? I'll probably see you in prison, you know?
Hey, I just sued Kamala, so
talk about that. That's a nice man. That's an, put that up in a frame.
I just got Mark Zuckerberg served. He was trying to run away from me for a couple of weeks, but I got the email from his lawyer today saying that he gives up. He's going to take the lawsuit on the chin. So I sued Meta. I sued Mark Zuckerberg. I sued Kamala Harris. And I sued Rob Flaherty, the former digital White House director, who was the censorship czar that was the shot caller in the White House under Biden, directing them to nuke every single person that spoke negatively about COVID, that said anything about election fraud or interference, suppression of the Hunter Biden story, that which we've seen 41% of people would have voted differently had they had known about that New York Post story that broke before the election. I sued them because it is unequivocal that when the government directs a private company to engage in action that is otherwise unconstitutional, if the government were engaging in it itself, and they pressure them, it's called the state action doctrine. You cannot coerce and pressure companies to do dirty work for you. There's 4 different tests for it, and 3 of the tests have never been used in this context. Mark Zuckerberg already admitted that he was pressured to run these things at Facebook. We already know that you have concerted action. They were meeting literally on a weekly basis. I have all your emails. When I filed that lawsuit, I included 47 different exhibits attached to it. It's an 88-page lawsuit and 389 pages total. They were working together to silence Americans at the bequest and demand and force of the government because they didn't want the truth getting out. And that's why you're seeing the two wings of the same bird fly right now with Soros buying up 200 radio stations, all for the simple fact that he wants to just shove one narrative down your throat. And then this is the other wing of that bird, which is to silence anyone that speaks out like you, like Alex, like me, like a bunch of other Americans. That's what's happening. Silence us. Force feed the narrative they know Americans will overwhelmingly reject and do it in the name of democracy. Well, I keep hearing, oh, our democracy. We don't have a democracy. It's a constitutional republic, first of all. So maybe if you actually read the Constitution, you'd realize that. But here we are with nothing but just abject communist cloaked in democratic cloth running for office again.
All right. We got 3 minutes left with you. Are there any other lawsuits? Do you want to talk about that? Do you want to talk about the lack of response to this hurricane, what you're hearing about it, or maybe your response to the vice president presidential debate, how you think that went in the last 3 minutes we have with you?
I think the last few minutes I want to just use to explain to people what is at stake here and just get people to understand something that first and foremost, you need to go and vote. I know you hear it all the time, but I'm telling you that for two reasons. How many millions of Americans have died fighting for us to have these rights to begin with? So if you don't think it's going to make a difference, I can understand and I respect that perspective. I can tell you why it will, but do it for the people that you owe it to that have given their ultimate sacrifice and their life for us to have a free country. Secondly, if you don't go vote in person and you're a registered voter, pretty likely your name's going to be used to vote for someone that you probably wouldn't want to vote for. So that's the other reason that's important to go vote in person. This country is worth saving. Every single state in this country is worth saving. Every single city in this country is worth saving. And people are they're just beaten down. They're defeated. That is literally the absolute just playbook of what Marx has done. It is the playbook. It is spelled out very clearly. That's how you destroy a nation, is when you just take out the spirit, the will of people to fight. And I am telling you, do not give in, do not give up, because you have seen what happened in 4 years. Imagine when you get four more and it's on an accelerated path. You're seeing other 30 countries as of January 1st, 2025, requiring global citizenship. Do you not see the writing on the walls? It's not going away. And I get it that so many people are good people, so they can't conceptualize evil of this magnitude, but I'm telling you, it's real. I have been in the trenches. I've been in Washington. I've been fighting in the courts. I've done everything that I can to fight for these people. And I'm telling you right now, what we are facing is demonic. It is a spiritual battle. This is good and evil. It's not Democrat, Republican. It is about doing the right moral thing. And it is on the brink of us losing everything that we have. And if you won't fight for this, I don't know what you'll fight for. So please stay focused on what we have in our lives, because once we lose it, it is never coming back.
Very well said. Couldn't agree more. And I don't want to have Americans with intimate knowledge like you of the evil we face, intimate knowledge like me of the evil we face. I'd like for those numbers to not go up. I'd like for us to face it and deal with it and put it behind us instead of having, you know, the next wave of Americans that have to face this down and realize how bad it is. All right, you need to follow Mike Yoder. Follow him on X. Follow Citizen AG. Check out his website daily for updates there as well. Mike, thank you for your time and these updates today.
Appreciate it. I'll keep fighting until God calls me home or Hillary Clinton finds me.
I hope she doesn't find P. Diddy, or we may never find out more information about that. All right, Mike Yoder departs now. All right, I got so much other news to get to. I do have some Diddy news. We can get into that. 33 days, folks.
The Save Alex Jones Broadcast Limited Edition Fundraiser T-shirt is available at thealexjonesstore.com. This exclusive limited edition T-shirt is your chance to stand with Alex Jones and support the ongoing fight for free speech. Featuring the bold red InfoWars logo prominently displayed on the front, this shirt is more than just a piece of apparel. It's a statement of solidarity. crafted from high-quality materials. The shirt also features the Infowars.com website and an American flag on the sleeve, symbolizing the fight to keep independent voices on the air. Every purchase of this t-shirt goes directly to ensuring that no matter what obstacles arise, Alex Jones will continue to broadcast the truth. Wearing this shirt means you're part of the mission to protect free speech and keep Alex Jones broadcasting. Get yours now before this limited edition sells out, and wear it proudly as a defender of the truth. Visit thealexjonesstore.com right now and get the Save Alex Jones Broadcast limited edition fundraiser t-shirt now. Get yours now.
And it's only going to get worse until people wake up, and you will wake up one way or another. You may wake up when the drones are flying down the street and the big trash trucks, robot driven, are pulling up and getting the dead bodies, and your wife and kids are dead, and for some reason you're immune to the new virus, and you're sitting there with the electricity off and no food, and half the city's dead. And just know that often luxurious places, people like Zuckerberg will be in their bunkers while we're all dying. But our people are everywhere, and they're watching the enemy. And when we all jump on their private jets this week, next month, a year from now, whatever it is, and the private airports are full of all the establishment and their minions loaded up with all their crap flying off to their armored fortresses, that's another key to know when they're about to pull the trigger on a new bioweapon or a nuclear war. But after the dust settles, we know where to get the medicine and food we need as survivors, don't we? And that's what matters at the end, is we will get these people. I may not be around for it, and a lot of you won't be around for it. But don't get on the bus when they tell you they're relocating you for your safety when all the food and energy's off. As you go to that forced labor camp, you ain't ever coming back. This is how it works in history. Happens all the time. People forget freedom. They don't stand up for themselves. And the tyrants take over. And they don't just not care about you. They hate you. They want to hurt you. I always hear, oh, the New World doesn't care about the people. Oh, the Democrats don't care. Oh, they do care. They love partying and taking drugs and getting their hair done and flying around on private jets while your kids are all locked up in the house with you and you're going bankrupt. They enjoy hurting you. It makes them enjoy their lives so much more. And hey, only people you got to blame is yourself, right? I mean, I'm not saying you're to blame. They obviously are the really bad people. But, hey, I get it. You know, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of movies to see, a lot of concerts, a lot of, let somebody else handle that. Well, the New World Order is going to handle you. And they're making their move. And you're like, well, they'll never get away with that. I mean, this is America. Have you looked around, boys and girls, at where we are and how fast things are going downhill?
InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Agenda. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to cover some of this other news. I want to let you know you can still, it's not too late, you can still get entered to win the monster truck at thealexjonesstore.com. And there's new t-shirts coming daily. They just had a Halloween-themed T-shirt, as we are now in October. And they just had a Halloween-themed T-shirt. I was going to be a Democrat for Halloween, but I couldn't fit my head up my ass. So, you know, wear that around town. Trigger a few liberals. It's all at thealexjonesstore.com. And remember, with your purchases of the T-shirts, the hats, everything else, the decals, you are entered into the Monster Truck Raffle. Now, Where should I go? I want to try to just pile drive through some of this news. Five revelations from Jack Smith's big filing in Donald Trump January 6th case. Now, look, there's nothing really new here. It's just, it's the follow-up with Judge Tanya Chutkan and Jack Smith, and they've just released some of these files where Trump has already won at the Supreme Court and gotten immunity, and so Jack Smith just says, nope, that doesn't apply here. So the whole thing is obviously corrupted and illegitimate. And it seems, I mean, I don't know if Mike Pence is quote-unquote cooperating here, but it's like the whole thing is about Pence, it seems like. Trump showed disregard for Pence's safety. Who stood down the National Guard? Oh, yeah, that was the Democrats. That was the Democrats in D.C. and that ran the House. Trump's knowledge of false election claims? Oh, he knew that what he was saying was fake. Well, it actually turned out he was right. They don't include that in there, though, conveniently, of course. They have all these conversations now between Pence and Trump that are in these documents. Chaos at the polls, which is a real thing. They're acting like it wasn't. They go after Ronna McDaniel as well. How, Trump is asking her to fight and she wouldn't. And that tells you a lot. So it's a nothing burger, except it's just they want it back in the headlines. And really, it's Jack Smith saying, I don't care about the Supreme Court. I don't care that they said he has immunity. I'm just saying that doesn't apply here. And so, I mean, Trump will I don't know. The whole thing, the justice system is so corrupted that it's, you know, if there's a Democrat involved in any of the process, there is no justice. That's the truth. If there's a Democrat, if there's a leftist or a liberal or a progressive involved in the justice process, there is no justice. You're screwed. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, there's a great candidate right now. Oh, and by the way, they're attacking Vance because he said Trump won in 2020. I mean, really, he didn't say that. He said that there were a lot of problems that need to be reviewed that he looked at. But they're saying, oh, look at J.D. Vance says, yes, Trump won in 2020. And so they're attacking him with that. Yeah, I wish Vance would have said it, but he had his own approach to the debate. He did well, so that's fine. I'm not the one that's the vice president candidate. He is, so he handled it how he wanted to. He did well. And then they put that fake image of him at the top of Drudge, and it's just a joke. And I don't even think we ended up, I think I forgot to put it in the show notes yesterday to upload the 25-minute compilation of the Democrats denying election results. But, oh no, it's the Republicans. But then anybody that looks deeply at the story, you see that, yeah, there were shenanigans in that election. And yeah, Trump probably won. They cheated. They stole it. I mean, even just the movie 2000 Mules will convince you. Not to mention everything else that we could sit here and cover. But let me get back to this. There is a great candidate. Look, there is a chance, folks. There is a chance. And I know it's not going to be an easy shot, but there is a chance that we can take back the Senate and the House and the White House from the Democrats. And you don't just have these squish Republicans now, the attitude, if you will, of a Republican in leadership is a bit different than it has been in the past. And it's still taking a little time to catch up and get to where it needs to be as far as effectiveness is concerned. But it's getting there. And there's one great one, and that's Hung Cao in Virginia, who's running against Tim Kaine. And he had an incredible debate performance. This is the type of guy we need in the Senate to help Republicans take it back. It's stuff like this. And so let's just play a couple of these clips. First, he comments on mass deportations, and then we'll follow it up with him talking about how, because he's a veteran himself, how the Navy is using drag queens to recruit people, but the type of people we really need. So guys, just roll 7 and 8 back-to-back for me.
Mr. Cao, you've supported removing undocumented immigrants who have committed violent crime. Do you support mass deportation of all undocumented immigrants? You have 60 seconds.
Immigration is very near and dear to my heart. When Vietnam fell, we had nowhere to go, and America brought us in. And my parents waited in line for 7 years. We all did, for 7 years to get our citizenship. The last thing that my dad had hang over his bed when he passed away 2 years ago was his naturalization certificate. I love this country so much that I wrote a blank check up to including my life to defend it for 25 years in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and other parts of the world. So here's my thing to anybody who wants to come here. Don't ask for the American dream if you're not willing to obey American laws and embrace the American culture, because I did. And so that's the number one criteria coming in this country. If you come here illegally, then you need to leave, especially if you're a violent crime person. We just found out last week there are 13,000 convicted murderers and 16,000 convicted rapists that came across under their watch. That's unacceptable. We need to protect Americans every single day, and that's what I did.
Thank you, Mr. Kyle. But the question, do you support mass deportation of all documented immigrants? That was the question asked. You have 30 seconds to respond.
If you came here illegally, you're basically screwing up the whole system. There's people that are waiting in line, like my family, for 7 years for their naturalization papers. And so you can't jump the line. I mean, if you go to Costco and you jump the line, what do you think is going to happen? You know, and so that's the thing. You can't come here and expect the American dream if you're not willing to obey the American laws and embrace the American culture. That's what I did. When you're using a drag queen to recruit for the Navy, that's not the people we want. What we need is alpha males and alpha females who are going to rip out their own guts, eat them, and ask for seconds. Those are young men and women that are going to win wars.
Please, audience, please.
Yeah, this guy, Kyle, in Virginia, is so strong and doesn't pull any punches and kept getting standing ovations from the audience that the moderators had to continue to tell him to calm down. I mean, imagine, folks, this is the kind of change I'm talking about. Tim Kaine, who was Hillary Clinton's VP loser, I mean, just a total creep, Democrat shill, corrupt politician, versus Hung Cao. I mean, just that right there. It's like, that's the type of change we can see. That's the kind of change we're facing in 33 days here. And there is a potential for massive victory. Massive victory. And this is all over the news. The crew keeps putting it on the screen here. It broke after I went on air. But America First Legal gets a lawsuit. Success, and they find out with the data that 1.7 million national security threats have entered the country under the Biden-Harris open border. And, I mean, look, you can kind of look at this data and put it however you want. How about I put it like this, though? How about 15 million national security threats have entered the country under the Biden-Harris open border? How about that? How about 15 million? So they're just saying people with charges or on watch lists or terrorists, known entities, whatever. And they're saying it's 1.7 million. So, yeah, I mean, that's shocking. That's a known entity of a threat. How about all 15 million of them are a threat? How about that? Why stop there? Why stop there? The governor of North Carolina won't even send the troops that are ready to go. North Carolina's Democrat Governor Roy Cooper still hasn't deployed 1,000 troops approved to assist in Hurricane Helene recovery. Now, I will tell you that a lot of the people that are being held off like this in situations like this, a lot of the good men and women in uniform that are trying to help and being held back by the Biden-Harris administration, they have been tuning into this show. And the guest we had on yesterday, who has sources that they're communicating with but are afraid to go on record because they'll lose their job and suffer the consequences of calling out this corrupt administration, apparently they're about to be greenlit to go start helping is what they're being told. Now, they've been sitting on the sidelines for a week. They're very frustrated, and they've been listening to this show, and they're very appreciative of our coverage, and they're waiting for full confirmation. But the story goes like this. Public pressure is effective, ladies and gentlemen. Public pressure is effective. And this has been such a disastrous response. If it wasn't for the independent media, if it wasn't for the whistleblowers coming forward with this information to the free press, it's likely that these troops who were never being sent in to help would not be getting the green light coming up today. Hopefully, that's what they're being told. When it's confirmed, I'll let you know for sure. But that's where we're at. Public pressure works. There is effectiveness here. That's why they want it shut down. That's why they want it shut down. What might the October surprise be when it's all said and done? Well, you could see a spike in oil prices. They're talking about that now. $100 oil could be the October surprise that nobody wanted. Oil prices spike as Biden confirms discussions with Israel about targeting Iran oil facilities. So this thing just keeps getting worse. Just all these disasters right at the end of their administration. But, you know, they don't take any of the blame. And the media protects them from any of the blame, too. But, you know, if it's Trump. In fact, Trump's not even the president. They blame him. Trump could be on the golf course eating a hot dog, talking about how much he loves pine trees. And they'd blame Donald Trump for all their problems. That's what goes on. But when it's an absolute disaster and Biden is just a complete non-entity anymore, he's just given up after the coup, they just don't even talk about it. And they'll blame Trump anyway. So, but it's really bad. This is an anti-Trump impeachment witness. This was a guy who was part of the team to try to impeach Trump. Very anti-Trump. MSNBC invites him onto the show, and things do not go the way they wanted in clip six.
A note for you after that. Why was it important for you to say no more Trump because of his January 6th conduct? And do you stand by that?
No, I don't stand by it. And I'll tell you why. I've now lived 4 years under the Biden-Harris policies, and I have to say that those policies are not only becoming an existential threat to our country's way of life, but to our allies as well.
So when you,
and
this is so striking. You said it was a no for me after that, after January 6th.
I did.
And here we are right now.
I did.
And you're saying it's a yes for you.
It is a yes for me. It is an absolute yes for me. That is how badly the Biden-Harris team have prosecuted their job.
But the whole point you seem to be making was that January 6th and that kind of attack on democracy is bigger than any policy.
I am seeing so many attacks on democracy that eclipse January 6th.
So I want to ask Sarah,
if you want to ask me what those are, I'm happy.
Do you see Peter Navarro's grin, by the way, sitting next to him? You know, a political prisoner of the Biden administration, Ari Melber, like foaming at the mouth. He was so ticked off. He thought he was going to get the panel to probably gang up on Navarro. And it went wrong when Gordon Sondland basically said, no, I am going to support Trump. You guys are worse than him. And there's all kinds of clips like this, by the way. I mean, I don't want to sit here and play man on the street videos 24/7, but it's like, these are some of the hottest videos again, and they usually get hotter right around the election cycle. And it's people, it's women, and they're like, yeah, I don't really like Trump at all, but I'm definitely going to vote for him. There was a CBS poll that came out last month. The crew can probably find it. It was a likability poll, and it was like 25% or 30% or something percent of people that said they don't like Trump would still vote for him. 0% of people that said they didn't like Kamala Harris said they would vote for her. 0%. So, yeah, people might not like Trump, but they like living in a country that has competent leadership. People might not like Trump, but they like living in an economy that isn't crushing them. People might not like Trump, but they like having a border that doesn't let in 1.7 million known national threats. That was a devastating poll for them. Pulling their hair out behind the scenes. So it's like if Trump has a problem with a likability factor, you know Kamala Harris does too. Her problem is the people that don't like her won't vote for her. People that don't like Donald Trump will vote for him. And that number is only going to go up. That number is only going to go up, especially after this hurricane disaster that Biden has been a no-show on and Harris just shows up for a photo op and leaves. And says, you can have $750 if you fill out the right paperwork. These people, paperwork? They can't even find their house. Paperwork. It's a joke. Speaking of political persecution, and we had this lady on the show. It's unbelievable. This is going to be chilling, what we're going to play for you, by the way. Former Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters sentenced to 9 years in prison. Gold Star mother. She is 68 years old. And as she has told the story, she was doing her job as the election clerk. When a request is made for data, she has to give it. I mean, imagine that. You're the election clerk, and they say, hey, we need this data. We need this electronic data, and it's your job to do it. You say, nope, you can't do it. Wouldn't that be what would be considered criminal? Instead, she gives the data over, and then she's considered the criminal. This is scary, though. This is the judge. Man, this is tough for me only because I've literally been in situations like this, folks. And it's one of the most hopeless, helpless, empty feelings that you can ever have. Sitting in a courtroom where it's supposed to be justice and knowing that there is no justice and the whole thing is actually weighted against you. And all the corners are weighted against you and fighting against you. It's really one of the scariest things you can ever imagine. I think I'd rather be dropped into a pool of sharks and alligators that haven't been fed in weeks than sit in a courtroom where everybody in that room is against you and you know justice is not in play, but punishing you is for your political beliefs. It's the scariest thing you can ever go through when it comes to political corruption. So listen to this judge. After the sentencing, this is the judge addressing Tina Peters in clip 11.
You have no qualms with violating the court's orders because you're innocent, because you didn't do anything wrong. You were just doing your job. You have no problem trying to kick an officer. Your explanation about what happened is preposterous. It's on video. You have no problem lying to officers. It's happened multiple times. They're recorded conversations. It's just more lies. No objective person believes them. No, at the end of the day, you cared about the Jets, the podcast, and the people fawning over you. You abdicated your position as a servant to the Constitution, and you chose you over all else. Yes, you are a charlatan, and you cannot help but lie as easy it is for you to breathe. You betrayed your oath for no one other than you. And this is what makes Ms. Peters such a danger to our community. It's the position she held that has provided her the pulpit from which she can preach these lies. The undermining of our democratic process, the undermining of the belief and confidence in our election systems. It's not about questioning it. No one says you can't question, you can't ask. It's completely different. And if you don't understand that distinction, then there's nothing I can say or do here today that will change your mind. So the damage that is caused and continue to be caused is just as bad, if not worse, than the physical violence that this court sees on an all too regular basis. And it's particularly damaging when those words come from someone who holds a position of influence like you. Every effort to undermine the integrity of our elections and public's trust in our institutions has been made by you. You've done it from that lectern the voting public provided you with. Everything you've done has been done to retain control, influence. The damage is immeasurable. And every time it gets refuted, every time it's shown to be false, just another tale is weaved. So I'll begin by saying I've considered all of those purposes of staying of an execution of a sentence. I've mentioned all of them here generally in my comments already, and I find that a stay of any sentence I impose would be wholly unwarranted. All cases have a possibility of reversal on appeal, no doubt. I'm at peace with all of the decisions I've made here.
All right, I don't want to play the entire clip, but I think you get the gist of it there. And, you know, she's been on probation, house arrest. She's had an ankle monitor. Now they're trying to put this grandma, Gold Star mother, in prison for 9 years at 68 years old. It's just, I'm telling you, folks, I do not wish it upon anybody. I would sooner jump in a tank of sharks and alligators than sit in a courtroom on trial where everybody is against you and the government and the power and the weight of it is weaponized against you. And any thought of justice is never even in the equation. It's the scariest political thing you can ever experience. Get a little taste of it there. I don't wish it on anybody. And it has to stop. We cannot allow this in the United States of America. Cannot happen. We got more. Would you like more? Let's tell the full story. In fact, I've gone long here, and I've got Jesse Lee Peterson coming up, so I'll have to put this off. But there's more political persecution coming. But let's just listen to Tim Walz quickly trying to explain away his lies about his visit to Tiananmen Square here in clip 13.
Look, I have my dates wrong. I was in Hong Kong in China in 1989. That move from Hong Kong into China, it was profound for me. That was the summer of democracy. I said it's where
summer
I understood
of democracy.
How sacred democracy was. It's what encouraged me about 15 back and forth with my students, taking them to China to understand both
who's paying for that?
The culture, but also to teach Chinese students about democracy.
That I'm sure they allowed
the
that.
First group of high school students, there weren't a lot of times that there were high school teachers in there that you could teach in a Chinese.
Yeah, who paid for
school.
Those trips?
And so,
all right, I'm not sure what is worse. He obviously is lying, and he always does this thing where he says, "Oh, I just misspoke." Well, you're a bumbling idiot then. So why should you be in any position of power, one heartbeat away from the president's desk, when you're a bumbling idiot that misspeaks about everything, that misspeaks about things that you should never misspeak about? It's like, it's a pretty serious event, Tiananmen Square, pretty serious thing, military service, pretty serious thing in combat zones. Oh, he just misspeaks about these things. Oh, I just misspoke. Oh, I just got something wrong. No, you're a bumbling idiot. You're a liar. But I don't know what's worse. He lies about being in Tiananmen Square, and then he tries to cover it up. Oh, I just got my dates wrong. Does he know anything about history? Then he says, by the way, who's funding all these trips to China where he's taking students and apparently teaching about democracy? Bull crap. Indoctrinating him into communism. He says it was the summer of democracy. What happened after the Tiananmen Square tank man was taken out? What happened? There was a slaughter. Summer of democracy. I guess Democrats believe that killing their opposition is democracy. So at least I guess he was being honest.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce, right? So this is why
they've
central banks
they've got so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would
yes.
say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all-time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy, the industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
No, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.